Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, which is a program for pastors and church leaders. It will also be of interest if you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group. Serving Today will be a helpful resource for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for those who lead in the Church of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook, and it's lovely to have your company again. From Slavery to Service, more in the series on the Book of Exodus. Well, here on Serving Today, Doug Johnson joins us again to introduce the next talk for us in the series From Slavery to Service.
This is where Israel have come out of Egypt, and it focuses as the main theme on God, the one who is faithful. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7.
And what can you give us by way of background here?
We need just to remind ourselves that the people have been slaves, that they have been rescued by God, and that rescue was accomplished through the death of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. They've come out of Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, but already as they've travelled through the wilderness, they've started grumbling, they've complained about the food that they have, and they're not sure about Moses' leadership. And when we come to our passage, that grumbling increases.
And what's the big idea or main point that we need to get across here?
I think the main thing to teach here is that even though the people of Israel show a lack of faith in God, God himself remains faithful to his word, to his promises.
So we're coming to the talk now. How are you going to introduce it this time?
Well, I think it's tempting sometimes to wonder what people might remember about you once you've left this world. Will they think of you as a good person, a wise man or woman? Or will they think of you as a cruel or unkind person, or perhaps an uncaring parent? Most of us will never have our life story written down for others in this world to read, and therefore to make a judgment on. They won't be able to say what kind of people we were. And that, of course, may be a good thing. But the same is not true for the people of Israel of old. We have clear records of who they were, what they did, indeed what kind of people they proved to be. And it doesn't always make happy reading. A major theme of the book of Exodus can be summed up like this. It's the story of the people's faithlessness and God's faithfulness. And that's how the story in Exodus 17 is remembered by other generations. In fact, even in Scripture itself, the story is retold as the story of Israel's faithlessness. Let me give you one example from the Old Testament. This is Psalm 95, verses 8 and 9. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, when your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. In the New Testament, even St. Paul picks this up, and he refers back to this faithless generation whose bodies fell in the wilderness. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 6. And this is a pattern that's repeated often in the journey through the wilderness. The people of God often forgot the blessings they had been given and grumbled and complained about their present situation. Their memories were short. They really had forgotten what slavery was like and what God had already done for them. So in our passage, we find them on the way through the desert of sin. Now, we just need to remember that that name is simply a name of a place. The desert of Sin gets its name from the fact that it's part of the area where Mount Sinai is located. It's nothing to do with the place being evil. And here, they've run short of water. And that's the story we're going to look at.
Okay, we'll just read the passage before we look at the talk itself. So this is Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarrelled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You're listening to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. So as we come to the talk now, Doug, what's going to be the first heading?
The first thing we have to see is that the Israelites show their lack of faith. And you can see that in verses 1 to 4. There is obviously a problem. And it's not simply that there's a lack of water. It's actually rather that there is a lack of faith in God. After all he has done for them, they still do not trust him completely. And you can begin to see that in verses 1 and 2. Moses' reply here is very important. Arguing with him is not the end of the story. He, after all, is God's representative, God's appointed leader. He brings them God's own instructions. So they are where they are, not because of Moses, but because of God. And this is why he says that they are putting God to the test. Now, even when told this, they continue to complain and grumble. They refuse to recognize that they have been rescued from slavery. They speak as if life was good for them back in Egypt. It is very easy for God's people in every age to forget the benefits of the new life God has given, to forget the rescue, the salvation from slavery in the old life that we once had, to look back with longing to the things we did, to the things we had, as if they are more important than our relationship with God now, is a foolish thing to do. We can so easily concentrate on the things that we can see in this world, rather than live with our eyes on what God has promised us and the world to come. Yet the Bible constantly calls us to look forward, to keep going in hope, and it calls us to keep our minds on that hope that's set before us. And in Israel, as in the church in general, often our complaints are directed at our leaders because we put our trust in them rather than in God. They cannot supply our need. Only God can. But Moses knows that he cannot give them what they need. And so Moses goes to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Moses knows that if the problem is going to be resolved, only God can do it. And God does graciously answer Moses' call.
And what's the challenge that we can bring out here, Doug?
That so often we tend to look back and think that life was better then. But of course, that isn't true. There may have been some provision, there may have been some enjoyment, but it was a life of slavery. And in the sight of God, that slavery to sin is something that will come under his punishment. So we mustn't look over our shoulders and think that the past was better. We must actually keep our eyes on the future, because it's God's future for us.
Thank you. So the first heading that we've just seen is the Israelites show their lack of faith. What's the second part of the sermon going to be?
That God remains faithful. verses 5 to 7. God does answer Moses' cry, and that answer is an answer that only God can give. It lies with God and his faithfulness. The God who has provided to this point in their travels will continue to provide for his people. He will provide what they need now, and he will bring them to their destination. So God gives instructions to Moses, and in obedience Moses makes sure that the people will witness what God is doing for them. Just look at verse 5. Moses is told to use his staff to strike the rock. He's used the same staff in obedience to God's commands before, and with it he has done great things. The staff is the sign of his authority from God. It's not his own authority. It is clear that God wants the people to know that he is the one who supplies all their needs. So Moses does as he is told, and water gushes out of the rock, and the people's thirst is satisfied. And as this story closes, Moses gives the place names, and those names show how they and Israel will be remembered. Verse 7. You see, the people of Israel are now remembered for their faithlessness. But thankfully, God can be remembered for his faithfulness.
So, as we bring this talk to a close, Doug, what sort of questions do we need to be asking ourselves and our people?
There is another place on the journey out of Egypt where the people test God. But the test again is really about the doubts and the unfaithfulness of the people. For despite all the evidence they have, they still test and quarrel with God. They had no real reason to think that God was not with them every step of the way, but they still doubt. And in fact, in Psalm 81 verse 7, God says that he was actually testing the people at the waters of Meribah, that God was testing the people. The Lord uses situations like this, where there was a lack of water or some other difficulty, to prove how real his people's trust in him is, and sadly they failed the test. But we can't point the finger at them. We're not free from faithlessness ourselves. There are times when we prefer what we can see in this world rather than God's promises. And sometimes, as 1 Peter 1, 6-7 tells us, we may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But through those trials, through those difficulties, the genuineness of our faith is proved, just as gold is refined by fire. So we mustn't look on these trials as times when God isn't with us. We must look on these times as times when God is working on us to refine us like gold.
Thanks to Doug Johnson for bringing us that talk outline on Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. And that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God enable us to remain faithful in the service of Christ. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. The address there is @servingtodaygbm, @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.